Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. Today's guest is Esther Santer. She is a lifestyle and fashion blogger based in New York City and also a mom to a one-year-old boy. I'm so excited to speak with you, Esther, because one, we've known each other, I believe, for 5 or 6 years now. And I just wanted to connect with you on motherhood. You are also my last guest to wrap up season 8. So I feel like it's very fitting considering my new chapter. So I can't wait to talk to you. Why don't we begin by having you introduce yourself to my audience and tell us who you are and what's your story?
Yeah, you did a great intro. So I'm Esther. I am a 32-year-old boy mama. I blog about motherhood, life, relationships, more like relationship with my husband as opposed to dating life, since it's we've been married for, we just passed 5 years actually. And yeah, I also advocate for infertility awareness, and I blog full time, so it's been wild finding that balance between motherhood and blogging now.
Yes, and that was one of my main questions, but let's just backtrack a little. Tell me about, how did you get started in blogging, and have you always wanted to create an online platform to share your fashion inspiration and just writing in general?
So I actually started almost 10 years ago. So it was 2013. I was finishing up my last semester in college, and I was living across from Lincoln Center where Fashion Week used to take place. And I wanted to be a part of it so badly, but I had no connections. I had no way to get invited. So I actually texted my friend. I was sitting in math class. It was going to be the last day, the last show. So we're like, let's just crash. Let's do whatever we have to do. So we ended up crashing the Anna Sui fashion show, long story short. It was amazing. So that night I went home and said, that was absolutely magical. I'm starting a blog, and next season I'm getting invited. And at the time, like 10 years ago, there was no blogging scene. I had no blogging friends. I think I had heard of, I only knew one blogger at the time. It was Rumi Neely. I didn't know her personally, mm-hmm. but like I knew the Fashion Toast blog. And I just literally covered fashion shows. I'd find the images online. And then after I would write about the show, I would find every email address I could find relating to that designer and said, I covered your show next season. I'd love to be there in person.
Wow.
So I did. And then by the next season, I actually got my first invite from Nanette Lepore. And it was so exciting. But then once I started getting like 50 plus invites a season, I was like, okay, so if I can do that from absolutely nothing, like a girl from St. Louis, with no connections, then I can turn this into a business. So that's what I did. In 2023, February 2023, will be my 10-year blogging anniversary, which is wild.
That is wild. You are definitely an OG. So I think we met maybe 2017 when the blogging industry was blowing up in New York specifically with the rise of Instagram and all of that. So I know that you are now a mom, and I would love to tap into just that transition. Have you felt like your content has changed, and how did you figure out what direction you want to take it? Because it is almost like mourning a previous identity and embracing this new one. So I think for me, selfishly, I would love your advice.
I think I'm still figuring it out, because I do kind of straddle that. How much do I want to share him? I love sharing him. And I kind of like every day I feel differently. And it's so crazy because like you'll hear feedback from people like, I can't believe you share him. But it's like, I don't know, that's a personal decision. But some days I don't feel like it. So I don't, you know what I mean? And but I am still figuring out the balance because I love posting outfit inspiration still, or like what I'm wearing. I love posting more lifestyle content, but because I'm now a full-time mother as well, he's just always with me. So it's kind of means that my content has changed simply because I'm a lifestyle blogger who this is my life now. So I am trying to figure out how to bring back the parts of myself that I used to talk about as well. But I think that's just going to come with time, I guess. Like now that he's on a good schedule, I definitely can do more. But I think I have to learn time management skills a little better, you know, go to sleep a little bit earlier so that I can be on his schedule and get as much done while he's napping. But yeah, I do talk probably primarily about motherhood these days simply because it is what I'm up to right now.
And I know that you talk openly about IVF and fertility and you advocate for it. So was that a choice that was easy to make?
At first, not at all. I wasn't even sure I was going to share our story at first because it was when I shared, we were already 2 years into it, into the struggle, into the like navigating fertility treatments. And then once I started the IVF process, I was like, okay, I'm like, I don't know if it's going to work or not because it's really like up in the air. But I was like, when I would follow people for emotional support or just, I don't know, like getting, just feeling not alone, you know, by finding other people on the internet talking about it. I was like, the things that, that I would connect with most are the journey as opposed to, oh yay, I had a baby and this is how I got there. So I wanted to share in that moment, to like help the people that I guess were in that moment too. And then I was so happy when it worked and I got my little Nate. But yeah, it was hard. But once I started sharing and I saw the response and I got like for sure over 1,000 messages, if not more, that was just in that time frame. So like since then, it's been many more of just people who were moved by the story or they felt less alone. I especially heard from a lot of people because we deal with male factor infertility. I heard from so many women who just thanked me for sharing because they were silenced because their husbands felt shame and just they didn't want, they don't allow their wives basically to share the story because it is, you know, you do need both be on board. It's a two-person issue. So yeah, just hearing that people felt less alone, I felt like I wanted to be their voice and help raise awareness.
And I'm happy that you did that because I think with social media, we all know everybody wants to post the highlights, but you're giving a lens to the real life. And it's also a choice, right? Because you don't need to post any of that, but I'm sure you've helped one person at least. So that's amazing. What has been the biggest challenge about motherhood? And what is like piggying back off of that question, what is the one or two things that surprise you the most?
The hardest part for sure has been how hard it is to do without family around. Which is actually why I'm in my hometown right now. I'm getting some help. It's really nice. But yeah, it's really hard. Like I don't have siblings nearby. I don't, I have some cousins and aunts and uncles, but they're like Jersey, you know, nobody like super like close by that I could just be like, hey, can I run to the doctor? And like, you just watch Nate for an hour there. I don't have that support system. So when people say it takes a village, like it really does, but I'm still trying to find mine. And I do have some amazing friends who like have really like stepped up and help out, but it like, yeah, the support system is definitely hard. I think the things that surprised me most, how much I love breastfeeding. Like I went in so open. Like I just, I spoke to so many people, like half of them said, it's horrible. I went on formula right away. Don't feel the guilt. And other people were like, oh, it's amazing. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to feel about it. Turns out I love it. Thankfully, it was easy for us. He latched right away. And I'm still nursing and I love it. And it's like, it's very just like he'll never cuddle with me otherwise, you know. It's like hard because he's so active. So yeah, it's just like those special moments. I was very surprised. What else? I think just how much work it is. I don't think, even with so many nieces and nephews, I didn't realize just how time consuming it is from morning till night. And oh, I guess two biggest surprises. Okay, so one, how many blowouts? I did not realize that, like, babies just have blowouts all day and it gets all over their clothes and it's gross. And, you know, I wasn't expecting that. I thought it just stays in the diaper and, you know, moving on. But yeah, so there's that. And the second thing, I was not prepared for how hard it is to, like, meal plan for babies. Because I feel like I spend most of my day figuring out what I'm feeding him next. So that's definitely been a challenge.
So are you exclusively breastfeeding?
So I am. And now that he's one, like, we're going to figure out when we're going to stop and move to just milk. But yeah, I am. But that, again, like, I went in open-minded and it just worked for us.
No, I have the same mentality as you. I mean, I'm open to breastfeeding, and I think that's my, I don't say goal, but I guess my focus. But if it doesn't work, I'm also not going to be myself, because as we all know, every baby is different. And going back to your first point, it was actually interesting that you mentioned about your friends, you know, helping out. Yeah. So I had this conversation with my sister actually, and because she gave birth in August. So our babies are going to be 6 months apart. But she was telling me how going through this new chapter, a new identity, you have a newfound perspective for life, one, and two, relationship dynamics, not with your husband, but with your friends who are not moms. Have you seen that? And have you kind of accepted the fact that, you know, maybe you guys are not on the same page and same phase in life anymore, and have adopted new friendships who are moms? Or I'm just curious to see what your insight and personal experience is on that.
So it's kind of interesting because the majority of my friends prior, like, already had kids, and we're talking like two or three kids already.
Okay. You know, so
I was the one who was like really left behind, especially going through infertility. So we ended up making new friends with couples that don't have kids, or like just, I guess pre-kids era, because we are like, I'm 32, so we're like a little bit older than I guess some of our like friend group in our neighborhood. And yeah, so now I'm like, this is so interesting because my old friends all are like seasoned moms and my new friends are like dog moms, and I'm like, okay, like, we can do this, we can figure this out. But yeah, it's definitely different, but I try to just maintain, like, I kind of let other people navigate the conversation, because I'm not going to talk about, you know, nap schedules with somebody who doesn't have a kid. But if they're curious about something, I'm super open about it. So I definitely try to just keep it like each friendship as it is.
And I think one topic a lot of moms, or just in the social media world, don't really talk about is the mental health of parents. Because I get insight again from my sister, and she is still a new mom, you know, it's 4 months, and she's so overwhelmed. She was going through baby blues, which I know is very common, but also not sure if she was going through postpartum depression. So I wanted to know, how were you keeping your mental health in check, and how were you taking care of yourself, even though you were a first-time mom? And I know, well, I imagine you're trying to do everything for your baby, but as we all know, you have to put your mask on first.
I definitely think that even though I wish I didn't have to go the IVF route, it changed me in such a strong way, because I know for a fact I am a better mother because of it. I am a more patient mother because of it. I have so much gratitude. And it was hard, newborn life, because Nate didn't sleep more than 40 minutes at a time.
Like, oh my God.
Overnight, only in our arms. It was a huge struggle. Like, he really did not sleep. And like, there were some days I didn't even have time to brush my teeth, because it took me 2 hours to get him to sleep for 30 minutes. But I had so much gratitude, and I just, I allowed myself to just not work until he started sleeping at 5 months. I allowed myself to just make it my full-time job, like taking care of him. So I didn't have to stress about anything else. We kind of just, my husband was like, don't worry about it. We'll make it work. It's okay. And because I allowed myself to just drop everything else, instead of feeling anger or resentment, I was like, I'm just going to appreciate these cuddles, because he only sleeps in my arms. Okay, like, let me just enjoy this, because mm-hmm. I know it's not going to last forever. And that's kind of, I know that is obviously a luxury that not everyone has. Or I guess if you have maternity leave, you can kind of do that for a bit. I know, like, you're also kind of self-employed. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to make it work. But yeah, that's really how we did it. So I did not experience, I guess, the postpartum blues or depression, but I really think it's because of the amount of gratitude I had.
Mm-hmm. And when you say you took a break, did you take like a real break? Like, did you go MIA on social media?
Or I definitely, like, sometimes I wouldn't post for a few weeks at a time, and I'd be like, oh my God, I haven't like posted in way too long. I did try to do somewhat on stories, but even now, like, I'm still trying to figure out feed versus stories, because stories is obviously a lot easier. Mm-hmm. But some days, even for that, it's hard to, like, you know, be to show up without. I think the key, I guess, like, if you know, whatever you decide to do for yourself, I think the key is really to just one, batch content, which I don't know if you do that. I have to start. And also to just time management, you know, and kind of plan everything out in advance, because once the day is going, it kind of is just going.
Yeah. Can you tell me about your goals before having a baby with your blog, and what those goals look like now?
So my goal was always, eventually I would love to have some kind of product line. My dream is an organization home line, which is,
I love that.
I don't talk that much about how obsessed with organizing I am and just decluttering. And it's something I'm so passionate about. And I'm always looking for like the perfect organization, like bins and hacks and things. And I just feel like it doesn't exist yet. So I kind of really would love to do that. And other than that, I always wanted to write a book, which congratulations.
Thank you.
So I always wanted to do that. And what else? Yeah, I mean, I just definitely want to grow my blog a little bit more. I think that I need to be better about being consistent. So I guess my goals then and now retain that I need to just, I guess, get on a better, just more consistency. And yeah, because I love creating content. I love sharing product recommendations and reviews. And I just, yeah, I would love to continue doing that. But yeah. My goal pre motherhood, it really was becoming, being able to use my blog to be a stay at home mom, because I never wanted to be a full stay-at-home mom, but I wanted the flexibility to work from home and to be there if I wanted to be there. So I wanted that financial freedom, and I wanted the flexibility. So thankfully I did get that, minus the financial freedom at the moment, because it is so hard to balance everything.
Girl, I feel you.
Mm-hmm. It is hard.
No, I understand. I mean, that's like a whole nother topic, but when you're in the industry for so long, you see it change from year to year, where, like, I know in the beginning, companies were just throwing money.
Yes.
Like crazy, right?
Yeah.
And then you don't know what to do with it at first, because nobody talks about how much you should charge and blah, blah, blah. I almost felt like whatever number you came with, brands were like, sure. Yeah. And then you're like, wait, what? Okay. And then they were like, I think 2-3 years where they became more strict. Oh, and I yeah. felt like the more I grew, I was getting less than yes. the first year.
Yes. No, like this could be a whole episode. Yeah. I'm not, it's insane. I'm still getting requests sometimes from brands. Like I just got one, I think like 2 days ago, a brand wanted a video, a reel, 4 still photos, all these things, $100. I'm mm-hmm. like $100, like a photographer charges.
I know.
Like, a minimum.
And what am I going to do with $100? That's yeah. like, it doesn't do anything in New York City. It's one meal outside.
And I always think about it. The person reaching out to you is getting a salary, but like you want us to work for free.
No, I know. It's insane. So the industry has changed. And I feel like that's the struggle and the challenge for us to try to see what else can we do and not solely depend on these brand partnerships.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, that's a personal fear that I have going into
things has changed everything for me. Like finally putting a focus on like yeah, selling my I mean getting sorry, I'm like featuring or reviewing products and then having people buy, you know, obviously through my link has changed everything because I've built an audience that really trusts my opinion. Mm-hmm. Means I have to pass up on a lot of things, but I like to research and review, and so people can trust those recommendations.
So wait, I didn't catch what you said. Is this on your blog or?
Oh yeah, my blog for sure. Instagram mm-hmm. stories. Also, I just really I like to create just lists and things, resources mm-hmm. for people of what's working for me motherhood wise. And that's really helped because that puts more, that gives you more control financially because you're not waiting for a brand partner
totally.
To, you know, either accept or decline or,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to like pick your brains about this like later on as well.
Yeah.
So what has been the biggest highlight of this year so far since we are recording this very timely and there's about a week left? By the time this goes live to before 2023 arrives. So what has just been your highlight moment?
Highlight moment. I mean, becoming a mom, but that's so just cliche. And I think really just, yeah, becoming a family of three, like there's just nothing. It was so special. And it gave me really like a purpose in life. And I hate saying it like that, but I think pre-motherhood, I started to kind of just wake up and not really know like what I was doing anymore, you know, especially not working in an office. And like, I know everyone kind of in COVID lockdowns, like I stopped going to events. I was kind of just like waking up and being like, okay, mm-hmm. what should I do today? And I was kind of feeling almost a little lost. And now I'm like, okay, I know what I'm doing. I'm so happy when I wake up. I'm so just, I feel like I'm thriving now. And it's really been just amazing, like mental health wise and just life wise. And I'm just really happy.
Oh, I love hearing that. I love that you're happy.
Yeah.
How would you define happiness then?
Oh, that's a good one. I think for me, like my mental health really is very intertwined with feeling like I have purpose and direction. So to me, that's why I'm feeling so fulfilled and happy. But I don't necessarily know how I would define it.
You just know.
It's yeah.
Like, yeah. So my podcast is called The City Confessions, and I love wrapping this up with having you, Esther, share with everybody a confession. And this can be anything. This can be something deep and dark and more like a secret. It can be light and funny. But what is one thing that you can tell us that maybe a lot of people don't know about you?
Should have prepared something.
I know this is the only one that I kind of throw at people because I want them to, I want it to be authentic and real. It's like, what's your confession, girl?
Confessions. Oh man, I'm like going blank right now.
It could be like an insecurity or a misconception you think people have of you, something you do like at home that you're embarrassed about.
I mean, I think like in terms of like things people are always surprised to know about me is definitely that I'm so like, one, I hate getting dressed, but two, I'm like, I'm not really good at making things like I almost like Pinterest worthy, and people are always surprised. Like, I would love to be that person who can set a beautiful table and make a beautiful cheese board and do all those things, but it's just not really my skill set. Maybe it could be, because if I would let myself try, but oh, I guess if you want to go deeper, I definitely think it stems from just like, be, yeah, for sure, like lack of confidence to trying. And I'm always like, I'm scared to start things for sure. Or like, oh, for example, like we got these blinds, like blackout blinds, where we have to like cut them to size. And it's like, I almost get paralyzed with like, oh my God, what if I make a mistake? I can't cut them. So then I make my husband do it. You know, like I'm always like, I feel that that's for sure like insecurity of like messing up and failing and everything. And it's really hard because in New York, you have to take risks. You have to get out there. You have to do things. And I feel like at the beginning of my career, that's all I was doing. I was constantly putting myself out there. But I think that over the years, like as we kind of were touching on before, it's like it got harder. The competition got fierce. And I started to just feel like it didn't matter how big of a partnership I landed in January, in February, I could get like nothing.
Oh, I know.
So it really started to mess with me, like emotionally, and just, you know, it made me really consider like, am I in the right career, you know? And I think that was really, that's been something I've been for sure dealing with, just trying to figure that out. And I think that's also something that people find surprising, because they'll look at your follower account, they'll look at past partnerships, and they'll be like, you're killing it. But it's like, yeah, I was killing it last month, but like, it has nothing to do with next month. So
no, yeah, I totally relate. Yeah. But taking that concept or dilemma and actually like expanding it, because when I was hearing you speak, I was thinking about just kids versus adults. Like when you're a kid, you have almost no fears, so much excitement, so much curiosity. You just want to take on the world. I mean, like when you're in college, you're kind of experimenting. Yeah. And then I feel like you hit the real world. Then you get in touch with society, people from your company or whatever the case is. And then you get fed these information that's not true. And then you become scared. So I think it's like really interesting to see how we're almost born with all this freedom and that just fearlessness. And then we grow older and we're like so scared. So it's a good, I guess, reminder for people watching and listening that when the new year comes, to try to channel your alter ego and just be fearless, because I think beautiful things happen on the other side of fear.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have a New York City fire round of questions that I always do. So it's just five questions I'm going to ask you, and you answer it with the first word or phrase that comes into your mind. If you can describe New York City in one word, what would it be?
Energy.
What's your favorite thing about the city?
The lights on Christmas. That's literally the
first. I love that. Me too. What's your least favorite thing?
Oh, the smells.
What's your go-to spot?
Lingerie.
And if you can thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
Bringing me opportunities.
I want to take a moment now to just thank you so much for being on my podcast. I think this episode was great. It had a lot of information ranging from motherhood to blogging to social media, just like real world talk. And now it is your chance to plug away. I will have all of your information in the show notes, but are you working on anything special for the new year that you want to reveal, or what do you want to tease?
Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me. It's so good to catch up with you, like first and foremost. But I'm definitely, my goal is to create more lists. I have a master newborn list. That's my most popular post to date. And it literally goes through every single category, from bath time to feeding time to everything in between. And it just gives my product recommendations for newborn. So I'd love to create more for like now that I have a 1 year old, and just every category I could think of because it's my passion. I love reviewing products and figuring out the best things because I'm also a minimalist at heart. So I'm very, very conscientious of what I bring into my space. And that's just something that's also just important to me. So you can find me on Esther Santer everywhere. And yeah, that's me.
Yeah, you shared the post with me and it was really, really helpful. So I'm definitely going to like reference it back because I just had my baby shower. So I'm trying to go through all the items. But I also know that it's trial and error. Again, every baby's different. Sure. So yeah, I think it's super helpful. The last question is, what is the one thing you love most about yourself?
My perseverance, for sure. And my honesty. Those two things. But
no, I think they go hand in hand. And it goes full circle with your goal about wanting to create lists and wanting to be just honest with your followers. And I love that. So again, thank you so much for being on my podcast. I think, again, this was such a great way to wrap it up since it's like mom to mom. I do appreciate you. Yeah. And for those listening, thank you so much. Make sure you share this with a friend, follow Esther, and then stay tuned for next week's episode, which will be the last one of 2022. And it will be a solo episode just with life updates and what you can expect from me personally in the next year. All right. Thank you, Esther.